Welcome to Money Life, where we offer you help, hope, and insight on the issues of making money, managing it wisely, and using it to fulfill God's purposes for your life. I'm Chuck Bentley. You know, speaking of making money, I just read an interesting article in the news, and I love to read news stories about money because I think you can learn so much, especially when you look at them through God's perspective. This is a story of what happened to the mayor of Amarillo. His name is Jerry Hodge, and he bought some property next to his home in order to dig for a swimming pool. And as the workers came to dig, they started the process and ran into something very unusual. And as they looked in the backhoe and in what they had dug up, they found a small bag of silver coins. In fact, there were 300 Morgan silver dollars in mint condition that dated back to 1887, and they had been underground right there for who knows how long. In fact, it's a mystery of how they got there or even when they were put there. It's speculated that somebody probably during the Great Depression was afraid of putting their money in a bank, and so they just dug a hole under their house or in their backyard and buried the money, the old, you know, put it under the mattress and save it so that no one else can get it. Well, what do you think those coins are worth now, 121 years later? And let me say it again, 1887 Morgan silver dollars, 300 of them in mint condition. You know what they were worth? About $20 or $30 a piece. Now, that just disappointed me greatly because I thought this guy in digging a swimming pool was probably going to just strike it rich by finding all these great coins. I know when I think about buried treasure, it's usually this huge, huge number. So here's the story. After 121 years, those coins went from being worth $300 to only $9,000. That's a very disappointing return. Now, if they'd been put in a bank and they'd earned compound interest over 121 years, assuming that their bank hadn't failed, it would have been worth an astronomical amount. But here's what I learned from that story. Someone probably put their treasure back there hoping to preserve it. And in fact, they lost it all. And it just reminds me of what the Lord said, not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Imagine if that money had been invested in God's kingdom. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about why money cannot solve money problems. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about why money cannot solve money problems. Now, I know that that may not be you, but in fact, very subtly, almost subconsciously, most everyone thinks when they have a money problem, the solution is to have more money. And I want to look at some of the lessons that you can learn from people who got a lot of money, thinking it was going to solve their money problems, and how, in fact, it did not. I really want to prove this point, and I don't want to go real shallow on it. Today, I want to go deep on this topic because we need to break that mindset. We need to break that myth that we so often carry around with us in the back of our mind. You know, Jack Whitaker was pretty famous for winning the Powerball lottery. I think his total earnings were over $350 million, and everything in his life went south after he won. And today, now that he's broke, he says he wished he had torn up the lottery ticket. He wished he had never, ever had it. And listen to this. Evelyn Adams not only won the lottery once, she actually won it twice, in 1985 and then again in 1986. Her total winnings were $5.4 million. Can you imagine that? And here's what she says. I won the American dream, but I lost it too. It was a very hard fall. It's called rock bottom. Today, all of her money is gone, and Adams lives in a trailer. She says, I was a big-time gambler. I didn't drop $1 million, but it was a lot of money, and I made mistakes. And I can't go back now, so I just go forward one step at a time. Now, listen to what Bud Post said. He won $16.2 million in the Pennsylvania lottery in 1988. He now lives on Social Security. I wish it had never happened, he said. It was a total nightmare. Now he lives quietly on $450 a month and food stamps. He says, I'm tired, I'm over 65 years old, and I just had a serious operation for a heart aneurysm. Lotteries don't mean anything to me. Listen to what happened to Suzanne Mullins. She won $4.2 million in 1993 in the Virginia lottery. Now she's deeply in debt to a company that loaned her money using her winnings as collateral. And the attorney says that his understanding is that she has absolutely no assets. Money did not solve her money problems. Ken Proxmire was a machinist when he won $1 million in the Michigan lottery. His son said he was just a poor boy who got lucky and wanted to take care of everybody. He moved to California, went into the car business with his brothers, and within 5 years he had filed for bankruptcy. In fact, statistics show that 80% of all lottery winners are broke within 5 years. Susan Bradley founded the Sudden Money Institute, and she says for many people, sudden money can cause disaster. I quote her, in our culture, there's a widely held belief that money solves problems. People think if they had more money, their troubles would be over. And when a family receives sudden money, they frequently learn that money can cause more problems than it solves. So are you with me? Are you understanding why I believe that we need to talk about this? That money cannot solve money problems? Imagine you have a child, and this child spends every single thing that you put in his hands, every single thing that goes into his piggy bank, every single thing that goes through his hands through an allowance or gets put in his pocket through birthday money or whatever. If that child spends all of their money, do you think that they need more money? Well, I wouldn't. But yet, when we get to be an adult and we go through everything that we have, that's what we believe, is that we need more money. Now, let's put it in terms that maybe make it easier to understand. If you have a problem with credit cards, if you don't control what you spend on credit cards, would the solution be to have more credit cards? Well, of course not. Now, the second problem we get into is that now you're told if it's not money that can solve money problems, then it must be my behavior. And so then you go to people that you ask them, just tell me what to do. Just tell me to go left or right. And you get into what I call financial behavioralism. And we get calls and emails from people all the time. And they want to change. They want out of the stress. They want out of the pressure. They want out of the embarrassment of the circumstances that they're in. And really what they're asking is, show me what to do. Now, somehow we believe if we could just get the right answer and then we correct the wrong decisions that we've made, that everything would be fine. But you know, that's not what God says. He does not say that it's your behavior that's the problem. God says it's what you believe that is the problem. Because what you believe is what controls your behavior. And so what we want to get down to is the real root issue of the money problem. It's not more money to solve the money problems, and it's not more change in behavior. It's changing what you believe. And we exist at Money Life because we believe that God is real. We do this broadcast because we believe that God intervenes in the affairs of men. He helps people at their point of need. We exist. We do this broadcast because we believe God is the solution to the problem. Now, if we thought money solved your problem, then you wouldn't need God. And if we thought just changing your behavior on your own, just asking for some wise sage advice, whether to go left or right, would solve the problem, then you also wouldn't need God. But you want to know something? Our greatest desire here, and my greatest desire, is for you to know that God is real and that He wants you to change what you believe about money, starting in your own heart. And when you do that, then God will change your behavior, and then you'll have permanent life change and eternal joy if you change what you believe about money. So we're not here to help you understand how to make money problems go away. And we're not here to teach you how to change your behavior. We want to go much, much deeper than that and teach you how to know God and how to know what God says and apply what God says to your life so that in your heart, you're ready to change. So I don't want to leave you hanging. I haven't given you much hope that more money is going to solve your problem. In fact, I hope I've eradicated that thought from your mind. And I haven't given you any hope that just a simple change in external behavior is going to solve the problem. But what I want you to have hope in is how God can solve your money problems. I believe that with all my heart. And we get up every day, every week, to do this broadcast so that you who are listening can get to know God. That's the exciting part of this journey. When we come back, we're going to go into some detail of how to know Him and apply His truth to your life so that your money problems can be permanently eradicated. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about how money does not solve money problems. We also talked about how changing your behavior will not solve your money problems. That if you get really serious about your money problems, what God wants you to do is to change what you believe about money. And when you change what you believe about money, you're going to get to know God more intimately. You're going to get to know who He is and experience His reality in your everyday decisions. So let's talk about some steps, some real practical how-tos. When I say that, I know you've got to be wondering, okay, what do I do first? If I really want to know God, here's what I would do first. I would define the problem. I would say, Lord, here's exactly my circumstance. Here's what I'm faced with. Here's what I really think that I need. And will you show me what to do? In other words, take your problem, define it, and go to the Lord with it, and ask God for His help. Now, that's going to require a certain level of surrender on your part, because what God leads you to do may not be at all what you think you ought to do. And you need to confess where you were wrong. You need to admit your struggles. You need to admit your failures to God. He knows them already. He will give you grace, and when you humble yourself before Him and you say, Lord, I've been doing this myself. I'm in this problem because I've been out here on my own. I've been trying to figure this out because of whatever reason. Either I was misled, or I had false beliefs. I was taught the wrong things, or I was deceived, or I was just full of pride. And God, I'm out here and I need your help and I need you to intervene in my life. Show me what you want to do. That's the first step, is to surrender. Surrender your problem to God and ask God to show you what to do. Step number two is God may lead you to repent. To repent of the ways that you've been in control. The ways that you've wanted to do it. The ways that you've wanted credit. You know, so many of our decisions we make because we want to be glorified. And when you repent, it's now, God, I want you to be glorified. I want myself to decrease. I want my ability to decrease so that your ability can increase. It's saying to God, I'm willing to change the way I used to do things. You know, I have a friend who is very goal-oriented, and he loved to accomplish his goals. And in fact, what he would do is he would write down his goals, and he would carry them around his wallet. And not only would he set a date for when he wanted to accomplish that goal, he would write down what it would cost him to obtain that goal. And so often there is a cost to obtaining a goal. And when you get to this point where you really want God to change your heart, you're going to have to count the cost. Because it may be doing some things radically different than you used to do them. It may be changing your ideas about the lifestyle. I have another friend who says he was raised with the idea that we all deserve the deluxe package in life. Not just the good, not just the best, but the absolute deluxe. And so he wanted the deluxe package, and he wanted his children to have an even better deluxe package. And he ultimately had to get rid of that. It was something he carried around deep in his heart, but he had to change. He had to repent of what he believed about his own life. And then number three, you have to begin to apply God's word to your decisions. Now, here's the questions I get over and over and over again. They start with two words. Should I? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I buy it or should I sell it? Should I file bankruptcy or should I not file bankruptcy? Should I cut up my credit cards or should I keep using my credit card? Should I roll one credit card into the other or should I not? Should I sell the car or should I lease the car? Should I? Now, here's what you should do. You should ask yourself first, what does God's word say about it? When you really want to connect God into your financial problems, when you really want Him to connect Him into your daily affairs, not even your financial problems, all of your financial decisions, ask yourself, what does God's Word say about it? Because that's where I'm going to go. When I answer those questions for you, when I point you to the right principle, it's simply to say, well, this is what God said. Let's believe what God said and let's apply what God says. So what would be the decision after reading God's word that brings glory to God if you were to act upon it? That's the kind of question you've got to ask yourself. Another one would be, what would build your character the most by applying God's word? In other words, what's the easiest way out, but God wants to build your character. What would build your character the most if you followed God's principles? And then number four, follow God's plan for a long period of time. Now, you did not get into financial pain or have money problems because they just happened overnight. It takes time to get into those problems. So over a long period of time, you need to be diligent in learning to give. That should be your top priority. Lord, teach me to give like you give. Teach me to be generous in all ways. And then, Lord, teach me to save. I need to believe what you said is true, that it's wise to give and it's wise to save. And Lord, I need to learn how to control my spending. I need a process to get out of debt. And I need to learn how to invest wisely. And I want to glorify you in all of my financial decisions. So how can God solve your money problems? Well, He solves it when you turn to Him and ask Him what He wants you to do. You know, the rich young ruler did the same thing. He came to the Lord and asked Him what he must do to have eternal life. And the Lord identified that the rich young ruler had a money problem. Because he said he was religious, he already did all of the external things. His behavior was in line with God's teaching. But the money problem was this, that the rich young ruler had his identity in his wealth. He had his identity in his money, in his possessions, and all the things that defined who he was on this earth. He felt very important. And so when the Lord realized that was his identity, he said, go and sell all that you have and give it away, and then come and follow me. And it said the rich young ruler went away sad. because he was unwilling to change what he believed about money. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Well, welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we've been talking about why money doesn't solve money problems. Before I wrap up today, I wanted to mention to our listeners that Howard Dayton and I are going to do something real unique on August the 19th. We're both going to be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we're going to have a live town hall meeting for our WMBW listeners. We're going to be taking questions from 4 to 6 p.m., and that's something that we've never done before. And Howard and I haven't gone out and made public appearances before, so we're very excited about that and look forward to being a part of that. And you may want to contact WMBW for those of you who want to tune into that live town hall meeting on August 19th. You know, today, as we've been talking about this topic, I'm mindful of all of those who send us emails and calls and letters and ask us for help with their financial situation and they want relief. And I want to reference a couple of things that the Lord said that I believe actually reinforce this idea that money doesn't solve money problems. You know, in Matthew 10, the Lord sent out his disciples. He sent them out and he told them that they were to go out and do his work, telling people that the kingdom of heaven is near. He told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons. And then he said, don't take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Freely you've received, now freely you give. Here's why I think he said that. Because they were going to be tempted to give money instead of to give the Lord a solution. And that actually showed up in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John went out to do their ministry and they were leaving the temple. It says exactly at 3 in the afternoon they came across a man who had been crippled from birth and was a beggar. And you know what he asked them for? He asked them for money. The scripture says that that's what he wanted. And then Peter turned around and said, silver or gold I do not have. But what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So what did Peter have to offer? He had to offer pointing this beggar, pointing this crippled man back to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This beggar experienced the power of God, and he goes on to say, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, and all the people were astonished, and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. In other words, this was done to point people back to Jesus Christ. When you've got a money problem, turn to Jesus Christ and tell him your needs. And he will respond with what he has. Well, I'm Chuck Bentley. I hope you've been encouraged today. This has been Money Life. We'll be back again tomorrow.